having a mental debate on whether or not I should even preach today. The sermon's on parenting. I wonder if we should do a vote. Here's what I've discovered is that God's word, whether we're talking about parenting or parting the sea, it's still his word. And God's word brings faith, right? Hearing comes by the word, hearing the word of God. Or faith comes by hearing the word of God. I'm gonna preach. AJ, I'll have you come up at the end if that's okay. AJ is gonna share an announcement at the end, so Tara, if I forget, you gotta let me know. Be like, hey, don't leave AJ. All right, Johnny, let me know. Johnny will come up here and hit me. Yeah. He said, I'll serve the Lord however I need to. Go in your word to Ephesians chapter 6. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? I'm trying my best to be sensitive in this moment because I certainly don't want to push past a moment, but at the same time, I think I can share this word with you, and I know this will make everyone laugh. I think I can be kind of quick. But I also think it'll be helpful. I'm more sure of the helpful part of that than I am the quick part. I think it'll encourage you. Even if you're not a parent, I think it'll encourage you. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this in verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents, and all the parents said amen. All the grandparents said, that's right. See that now? Yeah. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. I could preach that right there. You belong to the Lord. Those babies ain't your babies. They're his babies first. You don't own them. You've been given them for a season to steward them. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment, one of the big 10, with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. That's a scriptural promise from the book of Exodus in the 10 commandments. And this is the part that I really want to hone in on. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Can I tell you that you can be a present parent, but still an absent parent? Yeah. If you do not take this very sincerely and seriously. Last week, we started this series called Family Matters and talked about having a godly marriage. And so this week I want to transition talking about being a parent. You know, you're going to have a lot of important jobs in your life. Some of you in the room, a lot of you in the room are teachers. That's an important job. Raise your hand if you're a teacher. Lord bless you and keep you in this new season of, put your hand down. I'm talking homeschool. You pay to teach. You don't get paid to teach. We got a lot of people in the house that are in the medical field. Raise your hand if you're in the medical field. Come on, praise God for you. Yeah. We got business leaders. We've got people who do a multitude of different jobs. But can I tell you the most important job any of us will ever have is that of being a disciple maker. And the most important place you will make disciples will be your home. Does that make sense? Because being a disciple maker is technically the only job you'll ever have that will matter after you're dead. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying the other jobs aren't important, but if all they ever do is make a difference in this life and they don't impact the next life, they've fallen short of their potential. Are you with me? Come on, need a little help today, all right? I'm a little unsure that I should even preach right now, so I'm going to need some help, okay? Michelle said I had to preach this, so you better start amen a little better than you're doing. Let Josh write you amen. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a guardian, a foster parent, a mentor, maybe you're even just a fun uncle or a cool aunt. If you're a youth leader for the house, if you're a kids' house leader, I want to tell you that you have been entrusted with the most significant role that you will ever carry, and that is raising the next generation to know and love Jesus. So this message isn't just for families with kids, because Lifehouse is full of kids. I believe the Lord has given us a special blessing, but also, to quote one of the greatest movies of all time, with great power comes great responsibility. Right? God has given us an abundant blessing of children in the house. Last week, we had 282 in total attendance at church last week. At least 85 of those, maybe more, at least 85 of those were under the age of 12. Can I just tell you, that is a ridiculous percentage. Lifehouse is an anomaly. I know tons of pastors, and I do not know a single pastor who has that kind of a ratio of children in their church. And so I don't know why that is, but I know that the Lord has made it that way. And we must take that responsibility seriously. And I'm so grateful for Lori and her entire team for what they do. But don't think that being an influence to the young people in this church is just for Lori or Pastor Paul and their team. Understand that regardless of what your actual family looks like at home, your Lifehouse family has a lot of kids, and there is a responsibility on your shoulders. And I know this is, for some of you, this is new information, but I need you to hear it from your pastor. There is a responsibility on each and every person in the room right now that we would take upon ourselves the mantle to raise this next generation to know and to love Jesus. There's no one in this room that has the privilege of sitting back and watching other people do the work. I've already had my time with the Lord, so whether you like this or not, I don't care. But it's true. If you're single, you still have influence. If you're an empty nester, your legacy is still being built. Listen, some of you, when I talk about, as soon as I mention parenting, pain and anger entered your heart because of what's happened in the past and possibly because of your current situation. But I want to tell you and remind you that God is a redeemer and a restorer. I want to remind you that God can restore broken relationships. He can redeem what the enemy, we've sang about it, we've talked about it. He can redeem what the enemy is meant for evil, and he can bring good out of it. So just don't allow past failure to dictate your present perspective. You may have a very unique situation, but I want you to remember that God still works all things together for good. So today, I want to talk to you about the most important job you'll ever have for 20 minutes. Is that okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweet visitation of your presence that we have had and shared together today. I just pray over the next few moments that you would help me to preach with clarity and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, that you above all else would be honored and glorified, and that we would be edified and built up in the Lord as parents, but also as children of God. And we pray it all in the strong name of Jesus. And everyone, one more time, shouted a big old good amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's so good. The most important job you will ever have. I'll move fast, so if you're taking notes or using the notes in your bulletin, just go with me here. But so point number one, is that okay if I just move on? Point number one, your job begins with loving God first. Your job, we're talking about the most important job you'll ever have, okay? And so I'm giving you your job description right now. Your job begins with loving God first. We're going to read in a moment from Deuteronomy. And this is a portion of the Shema, which is a Jewish confession, meaning to not just hear, but also to obey. James kind of even paraphrases this in his letter. He says, don't just be hearers of God's word, but do what it says. Don't be like a guy who looks in the mirror and checks his hair and walks away and forgets what he looks like. That's in there, believe it or not, sort of. Deuteronomy says this, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. In the Hebrew, that word heart is lev, the word soul is nefesh, and strength is miad, not meow, but miad. Lev, nefesh, miad. When you put those together for the Jewish people, when you put all three of those together, it is describing a complete and undivided love for God. That means you love God with your emotions. You love God with your will. You love God with your mind. You love God with your identity. You even love God with your resources. And so the reason why I start with you, your job begins with loving God first. The reason why I start with that is because you cannot pass down a faith that you yourself do not possess. You cannot pass down a faith that you yourself do not truly possess. You can't lead others where you've never been. Johnny, where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up at? California, right? What city in California? Redding, California. Okay. Not Blueing, but Redding. Sorry. That was dumb. Couldn't help it. Johnny, I've never been to Redding. I hear it's beautiful, though. Yeah, I hear it's beautiful. Well, in California. So here's the thing. If Shekiah, have you ever been to Redding? Okay, so let's just say Shekiah wants to go to Redding. You know who she wouldn't ask to show her around Redding? Me. You know why? Because I've never been. I've never been to Redding. I barely know that it's in the country, right? Okay, the only reason I know is because I've heard you talk about it and things like that. Shekiah, if you wanted to go to Redding, you wouldn't ask me. You would talk to somebody who's been there, who knows the lay of the land. If you wanted to go to Sebastopol, Mississippi, first thing I'd do is I'd be like, why? Why you want to do that? Hey, no offense, I love my hometown. If you're watching, I'm just saying it ain't got much going on in the way of tourism, okay? All right? God bless Sebastopol. But if you wanted to go to Sebastopol, I'm your guy. Ask Kristen. We go back and I show her. We've been going back for 20 years, and every time I act like she's never been before and I show her everything all over again. It takes 3 minutes. Right? If you wanted to go somewhere that you've never been, you would talk to somebody who's been there. Right? So with that thought in mind, your relationship with God cannot be based on your parents' relationship with God. It has to be passed down from them to you, or passed down from someone to you, even if that's you develop that relationship with the Lord in church, whatever. You cannot pass down a faith that you do not truly possess. You can't just send your kids to kids' house or to church or to the house, to youth, and expect them to get everything they need if they come home and there's no representation of faith at your home. So if your relationship with God is distant or superficial, that will eventually and inevitably bleed into the culture of your home, because your walk with God is not personal. It's just something that you do because you know you need to do it. And also, there is no such thing as a personal faith in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a personal faith in Jesus Christ. To have faith in Jesus means you must go public. You got you. Yeah. There's no such thing as a private faith in Jesus Christ. There's also this. Your faith in Jesus Christ, while it's not personal and it's not private, it is public. It's also generational. It's also generational. Your walk with God will expand to your home, because making disciples, whether it's in your workplace, your school, or your church, or your home, that is the greatest assignment of your life. And can I just give you some relief right now? Because some of you hear this and you think, man, I'm no good at this. You might be thinking like, man, I struggle so much on my own. I have so many issues myself. I fall short so often myself. How can I be the one responsible for passing down this faith to my children or being a spiritual mother or father to the kids of Lifehouse? Can I tell you that you don't have to have all the right answers to be a disciple maker? Can I tell you that you don't have to be a super Christian to be a disciple maker? You just need, listen to me, you just need to be a real person who is pursuing a real relationship with a real God who really loves you. That's a contagious faith right there. When it comes to making disciples, so much more is caught than taught, right? I'm moving on. I'm not filling in the gaps here a little bit. You guys know how I am. If I start riffing, you'll be here till dinner time. So I'm just going to move on. Kind of stick to my notes today. Is that okay? Okay. Spiritual leadership begins with personal devotion, because what you practice consistently speaks louder than what you say occasionally. My dad was the king of do as I say, not as I do. But can I tell you, when it comes to making disciples in your home, that will not fly. That will not work. My goal is to live in such a way that I can say to my kids, I don't always make this goal, but my goal is to live in such a way that I can say to my kids, do as I do. Or to sort of quote the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. I make no claims of perfection. I make no claims of having arrived to the pinnacle of spiritual maturity, but I do make every claim that I know that I am loved by my Heavenly Father and that I am going to do my best to pursue Him with all my heart. And when I mess up, and I do mess up more times than I would even care to admit, I go to Him in repentance. I don't hold on to anger. I don't hold on to sin. I don't live there. I go to my Heavenly Father and I take advantage of the free gift of God's grace that has been given to me because of what Jesus has done for me, and I repent and I ask for forgiveness, and to the best of my ability with the Holy Spirit helping me, I turn away from that sin, whatever it was, and I turn back to God and I pursue Him. And can I tell you this? I've got three daughters that live in my house, 12 years old, 11 years old, and 6 years old, and I'm married and I got my wife in the house, and more times than I want to tell you about, I have to go to one of them, or sometimes all of them, and say, hey, I'm sorry, I really messed up. I was wrong in what I said and how I behaved and how I acted. And I'm really sorry, and I've asked God to forgive me, now I'm asking you to forgive me. It happens. I'm not giving my children an example of perfection. I'm giving my children an example of pursuit. Are you quick to repent when you miss the mark? Are you quick to ask for forgiveness when you miss the mark? Your children need to see that your faith isn't just a Sunday ritual, but that it's a daily reality. Point number two. I'm skipping a lot, trying to move. I hope that's okay. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These commandments that I give you today, they are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. I love that word impress. That's why I use the NIV. Because what it's saying is if I were to take my keys and I were to take AJ and I was to push those keys into his arm, it would leave a mark. There would be something there after I stopped doing that. Scripture is telling us to make the commandments, to make the Word of God such a heavy reality in our home and in our life that the weight of that reality leaves a spiritual mark on our children and those that we come into contact with. You guys following me? He says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, or, you know, when you drive down the road even. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Can I tell you that when it comes to making disciples in your home, you don't need a pulpit, you just need to be present. You don't need one of these right here. You just need to be present. You just need to be available. You don't need to be a Bible scholar to make a spiritual impact. You just need close proximity, because being emotionally and mentally and spiritually available to your children and to your family and to those that you seek to become disciples of Christ, it communicates that you value them and you're creating space for discipleship to happen. Some of the most powerful conversations you're going to have with your kids is going to happen while you're driving down the road, or while you're folding laundry, or if you're in the Moorhead house right at bedtime. Does anybody else have that issue? I'm so glad to know that. I'm like, I'm done, okay? I'm fried, all right? Leave me alone. We can talk in the morning. But I don't do that anymore because my wife told me to stop. I don't know what it is about 10 p.m. that just brings out all the questions in the kids. They don't want to go to bed. That's what it is. Just get a glass of water and leave me alone. Here's the thing. Discipleship in your home is not an event. It's a way of life, because spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, spirituality, it doesn't happen in one big moment. It happens in 1,000 little bitty moments. Things that you'll never remember, but your kids will. The home is the training ground for spiritual formation. It's where kids learn that, and can I be real transparent with you, real honest with you? I'm a pastor. I don't know if you know that or not. Pastors' kids have a reputation. And so I struggle with that. I live with that weight. Now, there will come a time when my children will be at a certain age and they'll be responsible for their own decisions. One of the worst things that you can do if you're over the age of, 20 years old, is to continue to blame your parents or your upbringing for the decisions that you are currently choosing to make. The lack of personal responsibility is not an excuse to. But I want you to know, I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect anything. And my goal in raising my children to know and to love Jesus is built on that I want them to know that I know I'm not perfect and I mess up. That's why I apologize to my kids pretty often. I do my best to never let pride get in the way of humbling myself even before a child. I don't always make it perfect, right? I'm not always there. And to the best of my ability, I'm the same person up here that I am at home on Malvern Road, in case you want to come bring me some money or something. I don't know. I can make my own barbecue. You come eat barbecue with me. Because I never want my kids to struggle with the dichotomy of personality. Well, this is the church version of my daddy. And while you may not be a pastor, there is still the possibility that who you are in public is not who you are at home. And I believe the number one culprit of resentment that children hold against their parents is seeing a version of their parents in a public setting that they wish they saw in a private setting. The word that I would use would be integrity, or a lack of integrity, if who you are out here is not who you are behind closed doors. Now, we're not talking about perfection. Listen, we make mistakes. We fall, we falter, we come short, right? But when we make those mistakes, we own those mistakes. We confess those mistakes. We repent to the Lord and we ask forgiveness to whom we need to ask forgiveness of. Are you guys, does that make sense? Are you guys following me? Parents, I implore you, let the version that your kids see in public when you're doing your best to wear your best face, right? And I know, let that version be the version that they see behind closed doors. In fact, let that be the true you. Let's just go that far and just say, let's just make sure to the best of our ability who I am in public is always who I am in private. And if you don't believe that this is who I am in private, go ask my wife. She will not lie to you. And if, I don't, maybe, I hope, is it? Okay, good. All right. We didn't talk about this in advance, so now I got real self-conscious. Like, yeah. Make talking about the Lord a normal part of your life. Make talking about the Bible a normal part of your life. Make talking about faith a normal part of your life. Some easy ways that you can do this is read your Bible at home. Pray. Have your kids join you in prayer. Let them catch you praying. Let them catch you reading the Bible. Let them catch you worshiping privately. Because again, part of the goal is that I'm the same person publicly as that I am privately. So I would submit to you is if the only time you're reading the Bible, the only time you're praying, or the only time you're worshiping is here, then that's a dichotomy of personality. Because if you do it here, but you never do it at home, then you're really just doing it because you're at church, not because you truly love God. And again, you cannot pass down a faith that you do not personally possess. Point three, Don, come on back up, man. I told you I was going to be fast. Are your hands okay? Okay. Most important job you'll ever have. Point number three, your job shapes generations. The psalmist said, "For he issued his laws to Jacob, he gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them." I love this. Even the children not yet born. Can I tell you that in raising your kids, you're investing in a generation that isn't even born yet. Grandparents, even in your relationship with your grandchildren, you were investing in a generation that is still yet to be born. He says, and they'll turn, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Listen, I want my kids to be successful. I want them to make money so they can take care of me. I'm not even joking. I mean, it's funny, but it's also true. I want my kids to be successful in this world, whatever that looks like for them. I want them to be well-educated. I want them to be cultured. I want them to be well-adjusted to society, to be able to be a contributor to society, not just a consumer of society. Like I want to raise kids that make a positive mark on the world. You know, when it comes to parenting, you know, oh man, I could get off in the weeds here. You know, used to struggle with helicopter parents. Now you have bulldozer parents. They're not preparing their kids for the world. They're trying to prepare the world for their kids. That's another. And I'm not saying that preparing your kids for the world is unimportant, because I just told you, I think it's very important. But what takes priority over preparing your kids for the world is preparing your kids for the Lord. I think every family, or at least every parent, they should have some sort of a mission statement, something that helps align their heart and their values to their raising their kids. Because if you're raising your kids without any goal in mind, then you're going to wind up somewhere you probably didn't intend on being. In the Moorhead home, we want to raise our kids first and foremost to love the Lord. Secondly, we want our kids to love us. Thirdly, I want them to love each other. I want to, in 20 years, when they come home, I want there to be peace in our home when we come together. I want them to love God. I want them to love us. I want them to love each other. And I want them to love the church. I don't care if they're in ministry. I'm not trying to pass down a ministry to my children. If they choose to take up that mantle, that's between them and the Lord. I will be there for them. I will support them. But if they choose to do something else with their life, that's okay, because I understand that serving God does not always have to take place in a local church. It can take place in many areas. And many of you are witnesses to that. You who teach at school, I believe that your first goal as a teacher is to make disciples for Christ. Your second goal, Sarah, is to teach music to my daughter Magnolia. What? Tomorrow, yeah. Right? Medical field, raise your hand again. I believe your first priority, even over helping people get better physically, is to lead and to show them the love of Christ spiritually. Now, I'm not saying that every time you walk in to a room, whether it be a classroom or an exam room or whatever your context is, that you walk in thumping your Bible saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, you better turn or burn. I'm not saying that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is the gospel and the good news of Christ infiltrates everything you do, from the attitude that you have to the words that you speak to the way that you respond when things don't go your way. And as much as I want my kids to do well in this world, more than that, I want them to love Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, while GPAs and academics and athletics and these external behavior metrics that we use to judge our kids, I'm not saying they're not important, but I am saying they're not the most important. You know, when I was growing up, it was like if you didn't go to college, like you're a failure. Now I feel like the way to success is to not go to college. Yeah. I'm just kidding. So I don't know if I am or not. I don't either. Somebody's going to hold up. There's going to be a mama come up here and be like, I can't believe you done messed up my... I'm sorry. I want to encourage you, focus on your children's souls, on their spiritual health. Are they growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Are they producing love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Is your home saturated with the Holy Spirit, that whether they like it or not, so much so that your home is just filled with the Spirit, that they begin to display the fruit of the Spirit? Hey, even if your kids are young, I believe even now that they can begin learning about the Lord, growing in the Lord, growing in His Word, growing in the fruit of the Spirit, and even growing in the giftings of the Spirit. One of the things I love about Lifehouse, and one of the reasons why we push Bible quiz so hard, is because God has blessed us with such an abundance of kids. And I think we've got to do our part to steward that well. But I love it because, like, my kids, they just talk about the Bible like normal stuff. They come to church and they just talk about the Bible, and they know the Bible. Like, I love it. We get in certain situations and I'll ask them questions for people to overhear. And, like, people are like, I think it's hilarious. I love it. Nobody ever cares what I know about the Bible, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, I've studied a little bit myself. God gave you these kids to steward, not to control. He gave you your kids so that you could steer them towards Him, not to dictate their decisions and choices. And one of two things is happening right now in your home. Your home is either preparing them to know and grow in the Lord, or making God an afterthought. And if you're not intentionally making your home a place where the presence of God is welcomed, where the word of God is discussed, and the way of God is lived, my friends, God is an afterthought in your home. So I want to encourage you today to make the decision, if you fall into that camp, make the decision, that's not how it's going to be in my home. Because it's not too late. It's not too late. Start now. Doing now what you wish you would have done then, right? Because you're not just shaping their childhood, you're shaping their eternity. And even more so, you're not just shaping their eternity, but you're also making an impact on all the people that they will eventually make an impact in their lives for. Because discipleship is generational. I'm the product of a person pulling over on the side of the road who invited me to church, who was the product of a godly mom and a godly father. You see what I mean right there? Had a godly mom and a godly dad not invested in their daughter who would one day at 20 years old stop and invite me to go to church, I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't be married and have three kids that I'm doing my very best to raise in the Lord. You see, don't underestimate the impact of the small things that you do on a daily basis, because discipleship is like a snowball. It's like an avalanche. It might start little bitty, but if you will give it enough time and if you will stay consistent. And listen, it's not about perfection. Remember, it's about pursuit. And if you will just continue to do what you can do and trust the Lord to do what you can't do, you multiply that kind of consistency by 20 or 30 years, and you're talking about generational change and impact that will far outlive you. God thinks this way. All throughout Scripture, we just read from Psalm. Jesus even said when he was praying for his disciples, he said, I pray for those who will come to know me through these disciples. He was praying for us. John 17. So that's why at Lifehouse, we're not going to have Family Sunday anymore. Family Sunday is when we don't have any kids house ministry and they join us in here. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to have Generation Sunday. We're going to invite them in. And I'm commissioning you right now, whether they're your kid or not, that, not in a weird way, right? Okay, just say it. But like in a loving, caring, kind, God-honoring way, that you would see the children that God has blessed this church with. And even if they're not yours, even if you've got five others, Wendy and Jeff, run around here somewhere, that you would make the time to invest in the kids, the teenagers, the elementary age kids that the Lord has given us. Amen. I hope you'll forgive me. I know I've kind of been scattered. It was a different kind of day. I think we all can understand that. But I want to invite you to stand. Actually, I want AJ to come back up. Y'all can just keep standing. Keep standing. AJ, just get ready, okay? Because, come on. Just go ahead, come. I want to pray for you, and then AJ's going to have, I'm sorry, I messed this all up, but it's okay. You guys are good, right? AJ may not be, but yeah, okay. But I just want to pray for you today, because I know that in this room, the topic of families and kids and different things, man, so many different emotions may come to the surface depending on your story and where you are in life. But listen, here's what I know of my Heavenly Father. He is good, and He somehow, some way, is able to make all things good. So today, if you would, just all over the room, just bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, but I just want to pray over you and I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every family here. I pray for every parent, for every grandparent, for every mentor, for every person who hopes that one day that they will be a parent. Father, I pray, God, that you would give them the strength to lead their home spiritually. spiritually. I pray, God, that you would anoint them with a fresh anointing, with wisdom that surpasses their own understanding, Lord, as they lead their home, as they lead their spouse, as they lead their children, God, as they lead, Lord, that they would lead them further and closer to you. God, I pray that you would give every parent and every person responsible for a young person wisdom for when the hard seasons come. God, that you would give them a wisdom that exceeds their own intellect and understanding to speak life, to speak love, and God, to point their children to you. I pray, God, that you would bring healing. No doubt in this room, Lord, there is regret, there is shame, and there is pain. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing and we speak wholeness. God, what the enemy has sought to destroy and to bring down, God, I just pray that you would build up. Lord, we just believe you, God, for healing, not just in hearts and in minds, but also in literal families. God, that daughters would come back to mothers, that sons would come back to fathers, and Lord, that hope would invade those situations, God. Lord, we pray over every blended family, Jesus, that just a spirit of unity and love would absolutely make itself known in that home, and that, Father, that the titles of stepfather, stepson, stepdaughter, stepmother, that those titles, God, would fade away, Lord, as son and daughter, as father and mother become the prominent names and titles that are given. God, we pray for every prodigal that is represented in this home, for every child that has walked away from the faith, maybe even walked away from their family. In the name of Jesus, we pray today, God, that the healing process would begin. And Lord, wherever they are in this moment, we know that you are a God who is not limited by any time or space. And we pray and believe in the strong name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would minister to that prodigal and that healing would occur, that transformation would take place. And Lord, they may not know what's happening, but God, through the touch that you bring them, that you would turn them back to you and turn them back to their fathers and turn them back to their mothers. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would raise up a new legacy, a generational legacy at Lifehouse for every family that is currently here and every family that you're going to bring to this church in the future. That legacy, that generation, that impact, that outlives every single one of us in the room would become the reality of what you were doing in this place and through your people and through your spirit. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. I'm going to pray. I pray it almost every week. It's the priestly prayer. I want to pray it over you, but don't leave, because AJ is going to share something with you. Once AJ's done, you're dismissed, but I want to pray over you today. Can you just hold your hands out in a receptive posture? Tim Hawkins called it carrying the TV. I don't know, it wasn't a flat screen back then, though. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.